I invite you now to join with me as we explore our scripture readings this morning, both of which come from the New Testament. I'm going to start really deep in the New Testament with the second letter of Peter. And if you want to use the blue pew Bible in front of where you're sitting, turn to page 236 in the New Testament section. You're almost going to be at the end of the whole book. I'm going to read from chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Again, that's page 236 in the New Testament section. This is Peter writing, and he says, "For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. For if these things are yours and are increasing among you, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For anyone who lacks these things is short-sighted and blind, and is forgetful of the cleansing of past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you." And now let us jump back to Matthew's Gospel, to the 25th chapter. In the Blue Pew Bible, you can turn to page 28 in the New Testament section. I'm going to read the portion of chapter 25 from verse 14 to verse 30. And your Bible probably tells you that this story is subtitled The Parable of the Talents. So let us continue to hear God's word to us this morning. Of course, this is Jesus talking. And he says, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Somehow, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Whew. Let us pray together. As we have come to your word this day, O God, make peace in our hearts so that we may truly hear you and then follow you. For it is through our actions, our living and our serving you, that we find life abundant. We pray these and all things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and let all God's people say, Amen. As I was saying to the children a little while ago, God does create each and every one of us. And in our own way, we are all created with a variety of gifts and abilities and talents. And throughout our lives, we are often encouraged to use these gifts and abilities and talents and to embrace them in a variety of ways. In that, as created beings, we are all alike. But many of us, in our own way, also have a knack for finding our comfort zone and for wanting to remain there, if at all possible. Because after all, it's easier. It's easier to stay in our comfort zones. It's easier and more comfortable to be cautious. It's easier if we don't take unnecessary risks. It's easier, it often seems, to just play it safe. But to do so, to play it safe, means to risk not growing, not maturing, not expanding our horizons, not living our lives as fully as possible, which means that ultimately, perhaps, the greatest risk of all is to simply play it safe and not risk anything. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. At a church I once served back in North Carolina, there was a young girl in that church who had grown tall for her age. It's typical, of course, in middle school for the girls to be taller than the boys, but she was even taller. And she finally developed an affinity for sports, particularly basketball. And her mom told me one day that this young girl had decided to try out for the school's basketball team. But she was painfully shy. And it made her even more worried and more uncertain and more nervous to go and try out for a team. As a good parent, her mom encouraged her to be bold and brave, to go and try her very best. Just leave it all out there and see what happens. She encouraged this young girl to reach high and to dream big. And most importantly, she encouraged her to take the risk of stepping outside of her comfort zone, her shyness, so that she could expand her horizons and live her life as fully as possible at that time. So this young girl did. She invested herself in improving not only her skills, but also increasing her confidence. And she went and tried out for the team. And of course, you know the end. She made it. She made that team. And after that, instead of being uncertain and nervous and worried all the time, that young girl was as happy as she could be, that she pushed herself and that she took the initiative to give it a chance. And you could tell how she had been changed by it all, in how she carried herself and how she was beaming after that every time you saw her. And her mom was happy too, because her mom knew that perhaps the greatest risk of all for her young daughter was to simply have played it safe and to have not risked anything. As parents of a daughter ourselves, my wife Dancy and I can relate to that young girl's story. My daughter was younger than that young girl at the time, but between the years of 2011 to 2018, my daughter Nicole attended 6 different schools in 7 years because of how we were moving around from state to state or neighborhood to neighborhood, or even because we would move to a new place right as she would, you know, be in grade, let's see, it would have been grade 5th grade. So the next year she had to start a new school for middle school. So we didn't move, but she still changed schools. Either way, along that journey, we had always encouraged Nicole to be bold and brave, to try her best in whatever she pursued. We encouraged her best we could to reach high and dream big. Most importantly, we encouraged her to take the risk of stepping outside her comfort zone so that she could expand her horizons and live her life as fully as possible at that age. So whether related to how she invested herself in her schoolwork, or in making new friends, or singing in the church choir, or trying out running for school council, or playing volleyball or whatever it was, we knew as Nicole's parents that God had given her a variety of gifts and skills and abilities. And we know that perhaps the greatest risk of all for her was for her to play it safe and to not risk anything. As people of faith here at First Presbyterian Church, gathered together as this body of Christ, we can all relate to these stories because as a family of faith, we all watch our young people grow up in church around us. We nurture them along the way from the youngest of ages all the way through their elementary years and into their teenage years and beyond. We do that because we make baptismal vows to nurture them. We watch as they create friendships. We watch as they gain new experiences and expand their horizons and push their boundaries and discover that God has given them these wonderful gifts, skills, abilities, talents. And we watch as they discover how God is calling them to use them. And so through Sunday school and worship and youth group and confirmation and so much more, we encourage our young people to be bold and brave. We encourage them to try their best. We encourage them to reach high and dream big. Most importantly, we encourage them to take the risk of stepping outside their comfort zones so that they can expand their horizons and live their lives as fully as possible. Because as those who have gone before them, we have learned, we know now that perhaps the greatest risk of all is to simply play it safe. The greatest risk of all is to not risk. And sadly, I have seen all of that messaging done through the unfortunate misuse of today's scripture passage from Matthew. As I said before reading it, your Bible probably had a subtitle that said it is known as the parable of the talents. And for generations, people have read this story and on the surface assumed it should be used as a lesson for sound investment strategies, or at least about being financially responsible. Of course, as the story goes, a man, before going on a journey, summoned his servants and entrusted his property to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2 talents, and to another he gave 1. And then the first 2 servants doubled what was given to them, and as the story goes, the third person didn't, because he went and hid it. He just had this goal. In fact, you can see by the language that the third servant used that he probably was afraid, and he didn't want to lose all of that value. So he hid it away, wanting to give back to the master what was rightfully the master's to begin with. But when the master finally returns and promptly rewards the first 2 servants for being good and faithful, what does he do to the third servant? Nothing but criticism for being lazy and condemnation for being overly cautious. And then the story concludes with those cringeworthy words that I didn't even want to read. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Way back in seminary, I had a professor tell my classmates and I one day that passage should be filed under the things we wish Jesus would not have said. But here's the thing. As soon as we think that this parable is about the value of money, we have deceived ourselves. In fact, this parable is not about sound investment strategies or the value of money at all. Rather, this story is about the type of living practiced by each servant entrusted with someone else's property. So let's start by clearing up what the word talent means. The word talent in this story is from the Greek word talenton, and it is used as a unit of measurement. But what we so often get wrong without digging in a little bit is that 1 talent did not equal 1 coin or 1 of anything. A talent, by definition, is a unit of measurement meant 16 and a half years worth of what somebody would earn as a laborer. That's a long time. So whether we think about it in ancient terms or in today's terms, we're talking about a lot of money. So using today's terms, think of it this way. If you're talking about $30,000 a year, after 16 and a half years, you're almost at $500,000. So perhaps it would have been more helpful had the Bible translators actually said, a man, before going on a journey, summoned his servants and entrusted his property to them. And to one he gave $5 million. And to another he gave $2 million. And to another he gave $500,000. How does that change the story for you? For me, a modern day analogy to this parable is what happens in a conversation when people get to talking about, you know what I would do if I ever won the lottery? If I won the lottery, I'd give so much money to charity. I'd give so much money to my church. I'd give so much money to fighting cancer or some other chronic illness. I would give so much money to so many other additional things that truly are good and faithful and necessary. Thanks be to God that most people in conversation tend to express that when you consider the prospect of being given ungodly sums of money, it comes along with it, the weight and responsibility to do something good and pure with it. So what would you do if you were given $5 million or $2 million or even $500,000? How could you change lives and change the world with a gift like that? You see, in the end, the third servant did nothing wrong at all. But he didn't really do anything right either. He simply did not lose his master's money. Instead, he basically acted with the proper caution not to lose what was entrusted to him. And then he was condemned for his fearful inactivity, for his lack, for his decision not to risk. You see, he didn't use his God-given gifts, skills, and abilities and talents to change the world around him. He was not bold and brave. He did not try his best. He did not reach high or dream big. And most importantly, like I said, he did not take the risk of stepping outside his comfort zone so that he could expand his horizons and live his life as full as possible. You would have thought if he feared his master, he would have taken every risk possible to live outside of his thumb. But he didn't. He played it safe. And as I've been talking about, perhaps the greatest risk of all is to just play it safe and not risk anything. This story is definitely not about improper use of funds. It's not even about doubling our money and accumulating wealth. Rather, this story is about what we can do through our living and through our behavior. It's about being invited by God to invest ourselves deeply in being part of God's kingdom in this place. It's about being invited by God to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. It's about investing our lives in God's purposes. It's about understanding that to be a follower of Jesus Christ is not so much about learning how to regurgitate Jesus' ideas as much as it's about learning how to follow Jesus' model of living and loving and serving. This is how and why we nurture our young people and we watch them grow. This is how and why we gather together as the body of Christ and we minister to the world around us. This is how and why we spent the past week embarking on this new ministry of being a host church with Family Promise. This is how and why we do so many things as Jesus' disciples in this world. Because we know instinctively as God's created beings that we must all avoid not caring and not loving and not rejoicing in God's goodness. We must use our God-given gifts and abilities and talents to change the world, and it starts right here in Covington. We must all be bold and brave. We must try our very best. We must reach high and dream big about the future God has in store for us. And most importantly, we must always look for ways to take the risk of stepping outside our comfort zones so that we can expand our horizons and live our lives as full as possible as God's people in this place and at this time. Because perhaps the greatest risk of all is for us as a congregation to just play it safe and to not risk anything. So may we be emboldened to keep taking risks in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.